Hi, this is John Schneider, you know, the Bo Duke guy, or the Smallville guy, Jonathan Kent. And you're listening to The Geek Generation. That's not my generation. That's your generation.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a very special bonus episode of The Geek Generation. I am here with fellow Smallville fanatic, Brian Lipsitz. How are you, Brian?
Great. How are you?
I am excellent. And we have a packed episode today. Before we start, I do want to thank you again and say congratulations, Brian, on the amazing Smallville recap episode that you had a couple weeks back.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate everyone who listened to it because it was, like I said, it went a little longer than but we wanted to cover everything. So definitely, you know, it was long, but it was worth it if you listened to it, I think. So
yeah, I would say 10 years and 3 hours isn't too bad.
Yeah, exactly. It was like I can try to condense it, but then you miss half the series. I don't know. So
yeah, but that was a great recap. I definitely used it to get ready for the finale. But we are here in kind of bittersweet terms to say goodbye, but also celebrate the finale of Smallville and dissect it a little bit, but also harp on some of the things that we were kind of geeking out as the episode went on. So we might as well dive right in because...
Well, I was just going to say, if you wanted to, we could just quickly, briefly cover the last two episodes before it because I did not cover those in my recap, but I don't know if you want to or not.
This is true. We can if you want. I don't really have any notes on those, but I can go off memory.
I was just going to say, we can go off memory, just so you know. The Zod one wasn't really, I think that was the one, yeah, second to last one, the Zod, or the third to last, I guess, if you count the finales too. But basically, you know, they tried to, you know, give Zod a conclusion, which, I mean, the way they got rid of him in the first part wasn't, but I kind of like the idea of how the Phantom Zod from the fifth season, the real General Zod, merged with the body of the... Major Zod from last season, and now we're like a full Zod. And he's got the beard now, and it was cool. It was kind of, I don't know, it was kind of, to me, it felt like a filler episode. I don't know why.
Yeah, it kind of did. I think it was just, it filled in that category of like the themed episodes. It was kind of just gladiator-ish.
Yeah, it was just like a lot of action, and you know, it was okay. It was cool. He's great as Zod, and it was that was cool. But, you know, at the end, of course, they had to set Zod up so he was spinning in the Phantom Zone with the other two criminals so they could set up for like the movies. I like that, but it was like I watched it. It wasn't anything I'm gonna like remember, but it was cool to see Zod one last time, I guess, before the series went out.
Definitely.
So. This next one was the one where Lois got the superpowers from Jor-El. Okay. I was like, what? Wait, which was the next one? Which I enjoyed it pretty much. It was a good lighthearted, kind of not for before the finale, kind of set things up.
Mm-hmm.
I had the big geek out moment, of course, when the Toy Man introduced his giant league of villains that
were
sitting on
a
table. Which, oh my, that was like the biggest, like, because no one knew about it. It was not leaked anywhere beforehand. Like, usually they're like, oh, so and so. And the fact they only just showed the backs of them, but I mean, for those of you who don't know, they showed Captain Cold, the Flash's villain. They showed Black Manta in full costume.
Yeah,
from Aquaman.
I didn't expect that.
With his huge, like, black submarine helmet, sub-aquatic helmet on. Who else did they show? They had the Dark Archer from a part, but they didn't show any of the faces, but, you know, the Dark Archer from a couple seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had, who else did they have? I think they had Roulette from last season, and someone else, I don't remember, but it was very, very cool, a fan geek out thing. It was a shame that, you know, but I appreciate the fact they used all, like, the comic accurate outfits and, you know, show that there were villains out there and the fact they were all linked up with their Justice League counterpoints, basically. So I like that a lot. And then, of course, the end was the, oh my god, they're not going to get married, toward a cliffhanger to try to bring into the finale, which I didn't buy because they had already shown pictures on the commercials of them getting married. So I'm just like, this obviously at some point they're going to go to a chapel.
Yeah, I was going to say, the episode as a whole was really good, but that horrible wedding cliffhanger at the end. Oh, we can't get married now. It felt like Lois and Clark's days. Like,
exactly. I was just like, really? You mean you already showed in the finale that, you know, they're going to have a marriage of some sort or at least attempt it. So why would you? But, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I enjoyed the episode. I liked seeing Toy Man again. He's a fantastic actor that portrays the villain. And just good. It was a good all-around last hurrah before the big finale. So
definitely.
I guess that was our quick synopsis. But let's get into the finale now, which is what everyone wants to hear about.
Okay. Well, also, if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to Brian's three-hour thing. Then listen to our two episodes and then into the finale if you want the full experience.
Exactly.
And you can pretend like you've watched Smallville before. So starting off the finale, we get Chloe reading a book to her son, and it is a comic book about Smallville and about Superman. And I knew right away who the little kid was supposed to be. I don't, if that was any mystery.
it wasn't a mystery, but it was like, okay, I'm betting that's who it is, but it wasn't a pure, like, definite until they showed, of course, you know, we'll get to. But, yeah, I definitely really loved, I just want to say, first of all, I really loved the fact that Chloe got to open the finale, because I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember this, but all the way back from the beginning of the first episode of the first season, people were like, either A, she was going to turn out to be Lois Lane, or B, oh man, they're going to kill her off at some point, and she's going to be the reason he turns into Superman, because mm-hmm. he's going to get so, like, and I just think it's fantastic that she survived the entire series, and she got to open the finale. I just thought that was, and as we'll get to later, almost kind of bookend it too, but
yeah.
I just thought that was fantastic, and kind of like an F you to all the people who thought they knew what they were talking about.
It's true.
Sorry, Seth.
No, it's cool. So moving on from in the story, they kind of jump back in time yep. from where Chloe's reading, and now we're stuck in an area where Lois is still not sure about the wedding, but Clark is insistent on the wedding going through, and I kind of liked that whole little play of like Lois going, ah, I don't know what's going on, and Clark's like, oh no, we're getting married, da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
He's just kind of blew by her all her insecurities about it.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, they had to get through this kind of stuff, and I'm glad they did it in the first half, because, you know, everyone was expecting in the second half, so you got to kind of get through this stuff, you know, the drama, soap opera-ish type stuff in the beginning of the first half, so.
Oh, yeah. And then we see a nice little clip. I mean, we're jumping forward a little bit. Brian and I are going to skip over some of the menial stuff that really doesn't need to be discussed, but we see what we know as comic book fans as Apocalypse, the planet itself moving towards Earth, which is a little different than the way things work in the comics, but I was fine with it.
I was blown away. Like, I think they may have shown a quick clip of it in one of the promos, but I wasn't sure. But then when I started, I was like, holy crap, it looks like they spent their entire special effects budget on that planet. Like, it looked exactly like it did in the cartoon and in the comics. It was fantastic. And I know, I think that, again, you know, it probably went past a lot of, over the people, a lot of people's heads. Like, you know, it was a lot to take in. A giant planet, that's for Darkseid's front. Like, in the comics, it's a giant mythology. Not even connected to Superman, just mm-hmm. Darkseid and the New Gods. So, for TV purposes, it was fantastic. And I think it looked fantastic, and it was a great visual, so.
It did. I didn't really expect to ever see Apocalypse when they brought Darkseid in, but it was kind of a cool way to use it.
Yeah. I did not expect that to be the big, you know, epic thing that's coming at the end.
Right. So jumping forward a little more, we end up with Martha Kent at the Kent farm. There's a bunch of packed boxes, and I kind of liked how she expressed that she wanted to keep the farm, because when Clark and Lois had decided they were going to sell it, I was really bummed. Like, the Kent farm is such an iconic piece of the Superman mythology that to see them sell it off, I was a little aggravated with. But I mean, they didn't say that they necessarily ended up keeping it in the end, but I think that's kind of implied at this point.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. I mean, I actually thought they were going to go away with, like, because I didn't think they were going to deal with that in the finale. So when they sold it, I'm like, okay, that's it.
Right.
Now, yeah, I was with you. I was sort of like, that's kind of weird, because, you know, he's always had that. And even in the movies, you know, they keep, like, you know, and not to jump ahead of it, but in that scene, I thought, you know, Annette O'Toole did a amazing job in that scene. Like, yeah. Her and Tom Welling, it was just like, you know, I got a little watery-eyed. Like, she just, you know, she just did a great job in, like, trying to tell him to remember, you know, the family and the Smallville and, you know, the stuff that, you know, he kind of is sort of brushing aside now. And I just thought it was fantastically played out, you know.
Yeah. No, it was. It was at this point, too, that one of the big themes of the episode surfaced, and that was mm-hmm. keeping the past a part of you.
Yes, yes.
And that go ahead.
No, I was going to say, again, I didn't really pick up on that until, you know, she started talking. Like, I had kind of gotten that he was pushing stuff away, but I hadn't realized to what extent.
Sure.
So it was kind of... So, yeah, it was a good way of explaining that theme, I think, of expressing it.
And the exclamation point of that whole idea was seeing Jonathan Kent there as, yes. like, a lost puppy, basically almost whimpering when Clark turns his back on him.
Yeah, and it was funny because when I saw the promos that, like, everyone did and saw him, I'm like, how are they going to explain that he's back? And I liked how they used him as basically just a presence there, like a ghostly presence.
Yeah,
I was worried
that...
I worried he was going to be, like, somehow brought back by somehow or something. And I was like, I don't know if I like that, but I like the way they played it off. But like you said, yeah, definitely kind of a sad, somber look on his face as he realized that Clark wasn't, like, didn't notice and was not giving, you know, into him at all and, you know, his past at all. So.
Yep. So jumping forward again to the Daily Planet, we see Chloe come in. And she is trying to convince Lois to go through with the wedding, ends up giving her Clark's vows, and without a whole lot of effort at all, really convinces her just to go back through with it. But I think the way that they did it was fine enough. Lois just needed a kick in the butt because she wanted to go through with it. She was just like a little torn inside about it.
And it gave Chloe a nice little, you know, after being away for a while, it gave her something to do. And, you know, I was my worry that she was going to be in the episode for like 5 seconds. You know, it gave her something, as small of a part of it was, it gave her something prominent to do. And, you know, again, like I said, they just got to get this wedding stuff moving forward quickly so they could get through the rest of this. I mean, there were so many things they had to get through in this 2 hours. So I was worried. I'm like, they're not going to have enough time to do everything. So it was good to see that they, you know, they kind of sped up some stuff in the first half. So
totally. Moving forward again, Oliver has locked out Watchtower satellites, apparently. Tess is running around Watchtower, and I love that she kind of went around the problem of not being able to access any of Queen Industries' satellites by instead going through a space station version of Watchtower that was set up by Martian Manhunter, so now we know that the actual real Watchtower is out there.
And that went by a lot of people. I don't think, like, well, of course, if you don't know of the comics or of the Justice League cartoon.
Right.
But, yeah, it was very subtle because it was, like, a quick, like, 10-second quote. And, like, no one – and a lot of people were like, I almost actually missed it the first time. I didn't catch it actually to the second time, but it was fantastic. I love that, how they – I mean, that's just – it's really, really cool, the little bits they add, stuff like that.
Right. It's seeing all those things from the comics just kind of sprinkled in there now. And as we're, like, making those final strides, all the pieces are falling into place.
Exactly. That's a very good way of putting it. Yeah, exactly. Finally, the pieces are all coming together. You know, just another piece that was just like, that's awesome. Like, yeah. Exactly.
So under Darkseid's control, of course, Oliver is ordered to take by Darkseid's minions the gold kryptonite ring and use it on Clark. And the gold kryptonite was, pretty recently just brought up, maybe like 2 or 3 episodes ago. And it was almost a toss away mention.
It was like, that's what I was actually going to ask you. I'm like, I don't really remember, like, they kind of like grazed over it really fast and they showed it in the previously. And I'm like, when the hell did that happen?
There was point at the end of an episode where Emil pulled Tess outside and was like, we discovered gold kryptonite.
Yeah.
And after studying it, we figured out it's going to take away Clark's powers forever. But it was such like a quick exchange that it wasn't memorable. And they really had to reiterate what exactly it did.
I think they're like, oh crap, we actually have to. Yeah, exactly. So, and gold kryptonite is notorious in the comics for being never used because it's so stupid. Because basically, for those who didn't see the episode, I don't know why you'd be listening to this, but it takes away Superman's powers forever.
Right.
If he comes in contact with it.
Right.
So
yeah, no, you're right. But the other question I had too is, it wasn't even necessarily in this episode, but I guess it's kind of related. I think it was maybe, it wasn't even, it was the one where Ollie was trying to get Orion's bow and everything.
Yeah, and, the one before that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's doing this because he knows he's marked and he's trying to redeem himself. And I'm trying to figure out at what point Ollie realized that he was marked. We saw a time where he walked like next to an X-ray-ish type machine.
Yeah.
Or like a
and it showed a reflection
a
type thing.
Right. And and we saw the Omega on him, but I don't remember him seeing it.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, I know when it was. It was in the Zod. I think it was in the even Zod told him, he's like, you know you're marked, but they never showed when. I don't think, if someone knows, please write in. I don't think they ever showed when Oliver was, like, realized it. Because when Zod, the next Zod is like, you already know that you're marked by Darkseid.
Right, but that was even after the point where Ollie knew he was marked. So, I don't remember a point where.
There may have been, but I don't remember it either. Obviously, it wasn't that prominent if neither of us remember it. So I don't either.
I mean,
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, he was doing all these things based on something he didn't know, which maybe they threw it on the cutting room floor and just forgot they did. I got
a quick sidetrack question for you though. Do you know of Orion from the comics?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause, because he was in Justice
League. The whole
League
exchange
and
with Darkseid and I don't remember the other planet, but. Yeah, Orion is really Darkseid's son, and he went to the New Gods, and then...
Yes, yeah. I was surprised that they sort of threw him in the last second, the last second to last episode, where they're like, Orion's Beau, and he's Darkseid's father. Like, I guess it was kind of cool, but on the other hand, it was kind of almost like a waste, I think.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I don't know, they didn't really, oh, that's what we skipped over. We didn't talk about Supergirl in that episode. She, was given her, I liked her little, their little nod to the comics continuity where she put on the Legion ring at the end.
Oh, totally.
Future,
yeah. That was
which
awesome.
Which was cool. But, sorry. But yeah, the Orion thing, I thought they were going to do something different with Orion where he actually would like show up or something, but then the fact that it was sort of like a prophecy and, you know, that whole like bow thing, it was kind of weird, but it accomplished what it needed to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they've been going back to like weird prophecies and stuff throughout the series, like the whole Native American cave thing that you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
And there's like
the Kwatchy caves.
Yeah. They've been doing that over and over again because I think they were running out of ways to make something Destiny.
Yeah, I think it's really true. It's like that. It's like, can we knock it on the head anymore?
Yeah. It's so. Like we get it. We're watching it because we know he's going to be Superman. You don't have to reiterate it to us.
And I think, you know, at this point, I'm going to take a segue and get into what I wanted to talk about at one point. I don't know if you know this, but there are a lot of people who absolutely hated this episode and actually ruined my enjoyment of it because I went online expecting, you know, people to be like, and there's a bunch of people on Twitter who I won't mention any specific names, but there were some people that were just outright like dickish about it being how bad the episode was. And, you know, I went on the Bendis board, which is a forum that I go to mm-hmm. where it's all comic book fans, and they just ripped it apart. They're like, that's it, you know, blah, blah. We'll get into it after what they said, but I just don't understand. There was just this huge amount of negativity towards this episode, and you know, when I watched, I didn't feel it was a bad mm-hmm. episode, but I guess I'm wondering if anyone else there felt the same way. Like, was it really that bad? And I'm just wearing like blinders.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, as a whole, I really liked the episode. I did find some issues with it that we'll get into as we move along.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a whole, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was just, and I don't understand that whole thing of where people just love to like rip on shit that people hate, and you know.
Well, there's a huge hater group out there for Smallville in general because.
Oh yeah, I think that's what it is, and they all came out that night. It's like, oh, it's the finale. A lot of them were like, I haven't watched season two, but I came back for the finale, and I'm like, well, what did you expect? You've missed like eight seasons, and you're all of a sudden gonna like think it's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of stupid.
Right. They actually tied up more ends than I thought they would. I've always accepted Smallville as an Elseworld because clearly so many things are out of canon.
Exactly. They've changed something. Like we said in my thing, I mean, he's met Lois Lane already. You know, everything's different. Then it's not the continuity, and people just don't seem to get that.
Right.
So,
and I'm fine with the Elseworld aspect. No, you're right.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Sorry.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay. So we did Watchtowers out there.
Yep.
Gold Kryptonite. Sorry. Then Clark is visiting Jonathan's grave, which for me was really the first deeply emotional part of the episode.
Yeah, another fantastic scene that I thought was really, really well done by Tom Welling and John Snyder. Just bringing it, of course, as usual. I mean, it's just just to think 10 years and, you know, they still have that chemistry where, you know, I mean, and plus, you know, John Snyder's been off, like, off and on. He came a couple times this season, but I mean, a lot of, and again, I know one of the negatives I did hear about it was like, did you really need to see Jonathan again? He was just on like two episodes ago in that alternate universe. Like, I'm like, dude, the whole, they wanted to bring, you know, it full circle. And I thought that was a really good thing is that they brought the family full circle, like, you know, from the pilot, you know, I was worried that they were just going to, you know, kind of, cause it really is a different show than it was then. It's a completely different show, but they actually, you know, paid homage to the show it was back then as well, which, you know, brought it all together. So
yeah, you can't, you know, not have Jonathan in there because arguably he is the reason that Clark is the person he is, like the prime reason.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's just like, I just thought it was a great scene. And it's funny, I was actually having a conversation with someone else, most of the graveyard scenes in Smallville tend to be some of the most emotional scenes if you think about it over the years, like, you know, Lionel's death, Lex's Clark's father's death,
totally.
You know, even going back to season one with Whitney's father, you know, they've all been like really good scenes. It's kind of funny. So
no, you're absolutely right.
It's just kind of a funny thing I noticed, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. So.
No, totally right. And so Lois is back in for the wedding after they do the whole, the graveyard thing. And now Clark starts doubting it. And at this point I'm like, seriously, what the hell? Like it was one thing to do it once and it already felt like too much. It felt like Clark pulled a 180 out of nowhere and was like, oh, I don't know if I should get married now. And it felt wasted.
they had a payoff. I think, you know, there's a certain fan base on the CW that watch it for, and I know you and I aren't in that fan base, but there's a lot of people that watch it for the Lois and Clark romance, you know, and even from the beginning, people used to call it
Superman's Creek.
It's Creek, thank you. Yeah. And so there's always been that, like, audience that's been watching it just for the romance, and I think they really needed to string out the romance again, even though they've pretty much done that all season and seasons, and it's like, okay, at this point, really? But, you know, at least they had 2 hours to do it. If they had an hour episode, I would have been rip shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would have been like, there's no time for this.
Yeah. Well, within a span of literally 2 minutes in the show, Clark says, I don't know if I should get married, and then goes, okay, I'm back in. Literally.
But you missed the most important part. They told each other their vows, and it was a very sad scene. I know people who cried during the scene. I wasn't one of them, but.
Nor was I. I wasn't that. I had no doubts that they were going to get married, so
no,
I was just.
No. Hey, whatever. You were wrong, though.
I know. They were going to go to the wedding. How about that?
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
And the one line that seemed like such a toss-away that I don't know why they left in and didn't edit it out was when Lois says, Clark, what did you mean about the stars not aligning?
I didn't even catch that.
Like, it's right when they're talking, and Lois is, like, kind of back up against the door at this point. She's already given Clark her vows. He mentions something about the stars not aligning while he's saying, maybe it's just not going to work out for us. Maybe the stars aren't aligning. And she says that, and then Clark immediately starts reading her vows and goes, okay, I'm back in. So the question never got answered.
No. Apparently they were just like, oh, crap. Someone messed up an editing.
Right. I thought maybe when she said that, it was a foreshadowing of, like, of the eclipse that came when Apocalypse was there and everything.
That's what I would have thought, yeah.
But exactly. It was such a toss-away line that literally had nothing to do with anything.
I just thought some of it was very heavy-handed with the, like, you know, without you, I'll be alone forever
or whatever.
And I'm like, dude, the whole point of Superman is that he is going to be alone. Like, it seemed like they were trying to shoehorn in this Lois thing. It's like, dude, I understand it's an Elseworld, but it still was kind of like a little, you know, heavy-handed with, like, all of a sudden she's like his own. It's like, dude, didn't we go through the same thing with Lana, like, where she was going to be the only one he ever loved?
Right.
You know, I don't know. So, but no, for what it was, you know, it was the finale. They needed that romantic stuff. I'm sure the people who like that stuff enjoyed it. But yeah, I was just like, come on, let's get on with it. I want to see Darkseid. I want to see Lex Luthor.
Totally. Yeah, this was all like filler.
Oh yeah, it's like that's, if they had done an hour finale, I don't know how they would have managed. They would have, I don't know.
Yeah.
So thankfully they didn't. So.
So now they're at the wedding. Yep. Lois enters the chapel and doesn't see Clark. And for a second I was like, yeah, that's kind of weird that he's not there. And he shows up by her side, which I thought was really well done to walk her down the aisle. Because we haven't touched on it yet, but obviously her father wasn't going to make it to the wedding because he was dealing with the whole military
giant
side of Apocalypse approaching.
Yeah. I almost thought when she was just standing there with her hand, I was wait, maybe that the father was going to come in at the last minute, but I liked how they did it with Clark.
Yeah, that was actually really well done. And when they're walking down the aisle, Clark sees Jonathan standing next to Martha, and that was my tear moment.
Oh no, that was like, you know, they couldn't have done it. You know, I just made fun of all the emotional stuff, but that's for the people who shit on the show and say it's shitty acting. I tell you, you know, fuck you. I mean, that was really, I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, it's one of those moments I'll remember. And it was, you know, it deserved to be in a finale. And it was just fantastic to see that. The only problem I had with the scene was, who are all these people in the wedding chapel? Not one of the people I recognize from. Could they have at least tried to get some people from the older episodes to come back, you know, just to fill it up, you know?
Right.
Anyone from Smallville? I mean, it didn't have to be Lana. I didn't expect Lana. I mean, I know she wants nothing to do with it, but I mean, anyone, you know, the Justice League, someone in civilian, I know they did mention, though, that the Justice League was out protecting so Clark could get married.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone recognizable, but it's like, no, everyone there is like, no one we've ever seen before.
Yeah, it really was the perfect opportunity to bring back old faces that we could go, oh, and it wouldn't have taken up too much time.
Yeah, I was expecting it. I was almost going to freeze frame it and be like, oh, and then I'm like, wait, I don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
It's like, Perry White couldn't even show up. It was just kind of like, I don't know, but.
No, you're right.
Whatever. Again, for what it was fine, I thought, you know.
The awkward part of the scene for me was when they were doing the voiceover vows and the non-synced up lips moving.
Yeah. At first, I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, is Lois, she's not, oh, it's a voiceover.
Right.
It was weird. They didn't really do it right, because it was like, I'm expecting them to actually say that, and then they're doing the voiceover, and I'm like, what? yeah, it was a little weird the way they did that. I don't know.
Yeah, would it have been that hard to just show their lips saying one of the lines? You can do the voiceover thing, but when you're actually showing their face, have them synced up with what they're saying.
Exactly. Their lips aren't moving, and I'm like, okay then, all right.
Yeah, that was
strange. Then we get to my favorite, fantastic, funny part, which isn't funny, but the exchanging of the rings, of course.
Yeah, Ollie giving the gold kryptonite ring to Lois, and Chloe's like, what the fuck is that?
It just flips it up in the air, and I like that part. That's not my problem. The problem is, so everyone runs out of the chapel, everyone escapes. How the hell did they explain all this the next day? Like, okay, so Chloe went crazy and just knocked the ring up in the air.
Right.
And just ran out and the marriage is off. Like,
I would assume people that were at the wedding were aware of who Clark was. I don't know.
You really think so? I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not.
Maybe they can explain it by they look out the window and they see a giant planet coming towards Earth and they're like, oh shit, we better get it. That's why the marriage.
She can just say she saw the reflection of Apocalypse in the ring. I don't know.
Yeah, but it was just kind of. I just thought it was weird how like she did it and then everyone just like kind of run like everyone run out and then it's just him and Ollie and I'm just like okay.
Clark and Ollie duke it out a little bit. Clark helps Oliver snap out of it and the Omega on his head disappears, so we know they can be broken. And
he slams him into that. He slams him into that like water fountain full of black goo.
Yeah, which was just randomly there.
I don't know what the point of. I'm like, is that his power source? Nope, it was just there. It's like Darkseid's bubbling in the. I'm like, okay.
Meanwhile, outside, Apocalypse starts to eclipse the sun, and this is where the world finally becomes aware of it because now all the news reports are coming in and all that stuff.
Yep.
So now Chloe's like, okay, well, I got to go to Star City. And take care of this stuff.
Hi, Chloe.
And Chloe's like basically heading out. I like the line that she said before she left Clark though, and she said, "I'll see you in the funny pages," because everybody knows what he has to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're saying it without saying it.
I liked it. You know, if they didn't have the bookend with her, I would have thought that was a shitty way to write her out of the show. But I with knowing that she was coming back later, I enjoyed it. It was fine.
Yeah. So Clark finally realizes that he needs his past. When he talks to his parents in the barn, and that's when he saw his father in the wedding chapel, but he hadn't really acknowledged him and approached him and talked to him until the barn. Yeah,
that was another great, great scene.
Yeah, and it was an amazing exchange, and I'm going to play the whole thing because it was great. So you can listen.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Dad.
I knew you'd see me again. When you were ready.
I made a mistake, Dad. I thought I had to leave you behind. But it's you and Mom and everyone that I care about that makes this world a safe.
But you're worried you're gonna fail this time. I know you're scared, son.
I faced Darkseid before. He knows my weakness. He almost defeated me. I need your help.
But son, he never saw the man who's standing before me now. Clark Kent, as much as your mother and I tried to protect you from your origins, tried to prepare you to face any challenge, I'm sorry, son, but our guidance just isn't enough anymore. You're gonna have to let Jor-El guide you from here on out.
I can't, Dad. I turned my back on him like I did you.
He's your father. He'll understand.
Don't doubt yourself, Clark. This has been coming for a long time.
Before you arrived, we wanted a child so badly. The day you found us in that field, you were the miracle we prayed for. Now the world needs that same miracle.
I love that line. My son,
it's
time.
Yeah. Pluses and minuses. There's a lot more pluses than minuses.
Yeah.
Pluses was just a fantastic delivery by John Steiner and Annette O'Toole.
Absolutely.
I was so worried that they were just going to have her, and I think it was so important to have both of them talk to him, but obviously since he's edited, they can't really, but with the whole ghost thing, I thought they did a fantastic job making it look like they were actually both there mm-hmm. and both talking to him at the same time, and even the way they filmed it, the cinematography was fantastic on it, and just a great scene. My only, this is not really a minus, it's just a joke kind of thing, but for 10 seasons, or okay, for the first 5 seasons, Jonathan's always been like, don't trust Jor-El. He's only evil. Jor-El, and plus Jor-El killed, Clark always felt that Jor-El was the one who killed his father because of the whole mm-hmm. heart thing. But still, I thought it was kind of funny that he's like, go to Jor-El. We can't help you anymore.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But you got to think now that Jonathan's over on the other side, maybe him and Jor-El are chilling. And
I just had a scary visual image of him and Jor-El like sitting like in a porch swing together, like just chit chatting about Clark.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. I that was just me nitpicking really bad. I mean, I really enjoyed the scene. I thought it was fantastic.
And I really like how Martha kind of did bring it again. And there's a lot of things in this episode that come full circle. And she mentions
Definitely. When
we got you as a baby and all that stuff. So it's going
which,
back to the
which
beginning.
Because they played the pilot a couple weeks ago or a month or two ago, and I watched the pilot again, and she even says in the pilot, like, oh, he's our miracle, and I like how they brought that back again, you know, 10 years later in the finale, they did a really good job of tying up everything.
Definitely.
You know, to the, so.
Awesome. So, from that exchange, Clark realizes pretty much what he has to do, and they jump to a scene where Lionel now is finally in the episode.
This was great.
Yeah, and he's kidnapped Tess and reveals how he plans to bring Lex back, and that's by using the working pieces of all the clones that kind of fell apart and all the ones that were experimented on. So he's built a better Lex from the parts that did survive and were good, but he needs a heart, which he planned on getting from Connor, which is interesting that they brought him up again. And since Tess has hidden him away, he's like, well, I have no alternative. It's got to be you.
A couple of things. First, John Glover looked like he was like king of like the, I don't know, hill people with his like ginormous beard,
because
he didn't have that where he's been hiding out, but he looked like a disheveled homeless man, but still he was fantastic. But I guess I was reading, not to, you know, get to, but I was reading an interview with the executive producers and the writers but the day after the finale, and I guess they were saying that Rosenbaum came back such the last minute that they really had to rewrite pieces of the finale because they had already written it as he wasn't coming back, and he came back at such the last minute that they had to rewrite things, and I guess they said if they had known he was coming back, they would have actually done completely different things in the earlier episodes to make it more obvious that he was coming, where this was sort of just like, huh, they're going to put all the pieces of the clones together? Like, it was definitely done at the last minute where they needed a way to somehow say, okay, he's the real Lex again, and, you know, but I was fine with it the way they did it, you know. I know there were a lot of people who hated it, but I didn't think it was a bad thing. I actually thought they were going to use Tessa's heart. I was like, okay, that's how they're going to kill her. Mm-hmm. They're going to give her... I like the swerve that's not what happened, but yeah. So I'm kind of curious. I wonder what the original plan was.
If
they had known Rosenbaum was coming back originally, but
I was a little bummed that we were getting Clone Lex again after we had just kind of had all these thoughts when we saw Darkseid that he would just resurrect him and that would be it.
I know, and that was my thing. And again, I'm wondering if again all this changed. Again, I don't know, but the only bright spot is, and this is me using my comic book geekery to give a positive to this, is that in the comics Lex has been cloned, but he cloned himself into another body at one point when he used to wear the kryptonite ring.
Yep.
It eventually went, you know, he lost his hand, he had a robotic hand, and he eventually was starting to die of cancer, so he had his brain implanted in a cloned body. And I mean, it's not the first time that Lex has been in a cloned body, so I know what you mean. It wasn't the real Lex, but once Rosenbaum was there, it was
matter at that point. You're right.
but no, I agree with you. I think it was kind of, but you know, they did an okay job with it. I think what they had to work with, I'm sure. I mean, it really sounded like Rosenbaum seriously came back at like the seriously last minute, to the point where they had already filmed pieces of the finale.
Totally.
So I mean, So, yeah. But, you know, to get him back, whatever.
Yeah. So they throw Tess on the table. They're like ready for heart surgery time forcibly.
That was creepy. That was creeping me out a little bit. I was like, oh, God, they're going to cut her heart out. They're like, they played it really well. Kind of creepy.
They
like,
did. I was waiting for Clark to save her, but I was actually really glad to see her escape on her own.
Yeah. I was like, there. She was badass to the end. I like that. She, you know, kicked asses. And,
yeah. And then she, you know, fires the gun at Lionel, fatally wounding him.
I wasn't expecting that at all. I expected Lex to kill Lionel again and or, you know, whatever. But I was surprised to see her kill. And it kind of tore me because it was like she was going really to the, you know, the light side. And now, you know, she killed Lionel, which doesn't really, you know, it's not a bad thing. But it sort of tainted her still a little bit again. So right. I don't know.
I think it's just that it keeps showing that constant struggle that she's dealing with.
Oh, definitely. Well, up until the very end. Yeah,
right. And,
exactly.
it kind of, we didn't talk about it earlier, but it kind of reemphasized the conversation she had with Granny Goodness earlier in the episode about being born in darkness, but like yearning for the light all the time.
I like that. Exactly. And I liked how she was planning to, like, you know, make the mansion completely different and everything.
Yeah.
And
that was cool.
Yeah.
So after that happens, Darkseid appears before Lionel and says, we find out Lionel turned down Darkseid's original offer because he says, I come to you again with the same offer. And in exchange for your soul, I'll give you immortality, which I guess was the deal. And Lionel turns that down. He's like, well, I never planned to live forever. I just want Lex to live again. So he ends up taking Lionel's heart and putting that in the Lex clone. But I'm trying to figure out, why does Darkseid need Lionel's soul at all?
I think what it was is he needed a vessel, and they didn't really explain it that way, but I think he needed a soul, an evil soul to bond to become that, you know, to become it into a humanoid form in this reality. I think that's what they were trying to show. They didn't really explain it very well, and I know what you mean, that's what I kind of guessed out of it, was he needed some sort of vessel to live in, and by taking out, by getting his soul, he was able to inhabit him, I don't know, or to reanimate him, or whatever the hell he did, you know. It was kind of cool, though, was with the Lex clone, or I'm going to call him Lex from now on, but the Lex, is how his hand was scarred.
Yes.
That, you know, they foreshadowing the black glove that they always kept showing in the future flashes, which I thought was a really nice touch.
Yep.
That they could have easily not done. So, and of course, then we got the great scene where I started flipping out is when, you know, they show him taking off the facial restraint.
Yep.
And you see that it's actual Michael Rosenbaum. And I'm like, ah!
Lex finally wakes up and you're like, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, waiting so long for this.
And it's funny, know, too, because with the mask on, you could barely tell it was Rosenbaum.
Oh, yeah. They could have used anyone. But then the second you see his face, I'm like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And, that's.
I'm thinking about that vessel thing, too. And I'm wondering if that was one of those last-minute rewrites. Because all it would have taken is one episode prior to, at some point, have the three, like, minions try and find a vessel for Darkseid. Then it would have meant something.
Exactly. And I mean, I really do think, not to go backwards, but I really do think that talk with Lionel and Darkseid at the end of that episode was leading to something else. And then when they found out Rosenbaum came back, they had to change all that, which is why it didn't really make sense, I think. I really think that's where the changes were, because like you said, it doesn't really compute.
Right.
But, you know, 10 years, I mean, when people are going to watch this, no one's going to, you know, ever remember that. But yeah, it makes me wonder what if, you know, kind of. And not that sucks, because it would be like, so I didn't get Rosenbaum, but we actually got a more coherent story.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't, what is it? After that, we go to the Daily Planet again, and Lois is trying to get a message to the president about all this stuff. And I don't know who the chick was that Lois knocked out to get the press pass, but she was hot.
At first, I thought she was supposed to be someone, too.
I did, too.
Is this, like, and then she's like, nope, because she was like, yeah, you're right. She was above the average, like, you know, generic, like, you know.
She didn't seem like an extra.
No, that's what, it wasn't like the usual extra. It was like, whoa, this girl's like hot. And then all of a sudden it's like she knocks her out. I'm like, okay, apparently she was no one.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Whatever. Random hot chicks in a CW episode are not that out of the ordinary, I guess. So Clark heads to the mansion. And this was the scene we were all waiting for. And
just love the beginning of it. Just fantastic.
Yeah, and we find Lex there, glove and all. And
I just liked how he walked in, and he's like, and you just see the shadow in the back, like the sort of, what do you call it? The, just the, not the, I guess.
The silhouette.
Is it not Thank you, silhouette. I couldn't think of the word. Silhouette of Lex behind him, and he's like, hello, Clark. And, like, that was just fantastic.
Oh, you mean like this?
Hello, Clark. Can't say I love what you've done with the place.
Lex.
You still say it the same way. Astonishment mixed with a hint of dread, yet with a hopeful finish.
You're alive.
It seems my father had a change of heart. And I got a second chance at life.
Where's Tess? What have you done with her?
She's fine. I wouldn't worry so much about my dear little sister. You know, I used to think it was our families that made us who we are. Then I hoped it was our friends. But if you look at history, the great men and women of the world have always been defined by their enemies.
You have a second chance. You can change all that.
But that's the thing about memories. You can't forget them. Like how you were always that one step ahead of me, Clark. No matter how meticulously I prepared, no matter how strategic I was, if only I'd known I never stood a chance.
It wasn't a competition.
Of course it wasn't. You were born to be the chosen one. You're simply better than us.
And that always killed you.
No. No, what killed me is that you didn't even want it. You fought it. You hid from it. I would have taken it and relished it, embraced it.
My destiny wasn't yours to take.
I get that now. Which is why I finally embraced my own. You and I, we will both be great men. Because of each other. We have a destiny together, Clark. Only on different sides.
And I'll always be there to stop you. Always.
Oh, I'm counting on it. Our story hasn't been written yet, Kal-El. And every villain is only as great as his hero. But you see, that all relies on you saving us from the coming apocalypse.
You know about Darkseid?
You really think I just read the cliff notes of the Veritas journals? They foretold of a chosen savior. The light that will inspire this world out of darkness. You're the light, Clark. Only you hold the power within you.
I'm not so sure that Clark Kent can save the entire world on his own.
He can. But we both know who can.
Sorry I couldn't save you, Lex.
And that's an interesting exchange, too, because Lex is pointing out the same thing that everyone else has the whole episode. Like, you need to step out and reveal yourself to the world, but now it seems like there's a consequence, potentially.
I don't know how they managed to cram that much awesomeness into, like, 4 minutes, but, like, they managed to hit every single thing they needed to hit in the final Clark and Lex exchange, like, you know, from the, you know, the witty banter from Lex in the beginning, from the, I wish I could have saved you, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and Lex saying how it's on our families that defined us, I'm losing my train of thought. how Lex said, my favorite was how he was saying, like, you know, you had that power in front of you. I would have seized it. I would have taken it. You know, just defining Lex to the core and saying how, you know, you're better than us, which is always how Lex Luthor has always seen Superman.
Right. That's the core of their relationship right there.
Yeah. And they just nailed it all. And Again, then him, you know, almost sort of inspiring him at the end. I was like, that's a really weird, cool, weird twist that I did not expect, where he sort of was like, you're the only one who can, you know, you're the light, you know. And then, of course, talking about the Veritas journals, which is all the way back in, like, season 6 or 7, which I guess now they're saying the darkness was Darkseid, which I don't know about that. Obviously, they're throwing that in there. But, no, I really – question for you, what did you think of the bald cap? Did it bug you? Did it make you go, oh, crap, that's a huge bald cap?
I didn't really notice it that much. It was not that big a deal.
I know some people are saying that it looked like he made his head, like, 2 times larger. Like, you could see the line, but it wasn't too bad. I didn't think it wasn't terrible, but it was noticeable at some points. But, no, I loved the scene. I thought it was fantastic, and just they both nailed it, like, fantastically. And I can't even, you know, and I was hoping that wasn't going to be Lex's last scene in the show, because I heard he'd only had 2 or 3 scenes, and if he had I was like, so they're going to have him know that he's Superman, okay. But it was interesting, so definitely a great scene.
Yeah, and like you said, Lex is oddly inspiring Clark to go out and be Superman, and it's because he knows you have to become this so I can become what I need to be.
Exactly. I loved how he said, you know, we both have destinies, and we're both gonna be great men, but on other sides. And it almost kind of goes back a little bit, though, to where they wanted to pay homage to the original Lex from, like, the early years, where he was really, I mean, they were like brothers, and Lex was a good person originally. And I think there's that small part of Lex in there still that was like, you know, I'm trying to inspire you to be this good person and to be this person for humanity. So,
and at the same time, you got to remember that Lex always has, like, ulterior motives. So he's simply if this world's going to get toasted, you got to save it so I have a world to conquer.
So, exactly. If there's world's gone, then Lex has nothing to rule. Right. So, yeah, exactly. So
moving on from one of the best exchanges of the whole friggin' episode.
whole series. Yeah,
we head to Oliver going into Watchtower to finally suit up. It took him long enough.
But it was fantastic. I'm glad they gave him that kind of suit to...
That was cool. He gets all the stuff out, and then he steps up to Darkseid's 3 minions, and he destroys them all with 1 arrow each.
See, I don't think he destroyed them. The way I looked at it, again, is that they were in host bodies, sort of like Darkseid, so where he destroyed the host, he destroyed them, but they're still out there. Like, they just evaporated and kind of, I see them all as, like, you know, like mists, basically, kind of like Darkseid. So I assume they're going back to Apocalypse. Like, I don't think he killed them, but it was the way it made it look like, boom, 1 hit, and they all, but
when you think about how difficult they were as opponents, just 1-on-1, and then he just fires an arrow at each of them. That's the thing that constantly kills me about Smallville, and it will come up again in this conversation. But thinking back even to when Doomsday was a factor, like, Doomsday was this major villain for such a long time. I think Clark punched him.
No, it was like a 2-second. He punched him, Doomsday punched him, and then he punched him, and Doomsday went flying into the earth, and, like, that was it was like the biggest anticlimactic, like, fight
all of their
all
action
after,
scenes,
like,
and battles have with, like, the major baddies have been so anticlimactic. That's my biggest issue with the series as a whole.
Well, the problem is they do it all through the seasons. They, you know, they have these great fight scenes, like. Think of, like, Absolute Justice, where they have these huge, great fight scenes, and then when it always comes down to the season finales or series finales, they always just kind of, like, okay, and that's it in, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So
it annoys me a little bit.
But I did like to see Green Arrow kick ass one last time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's one of the greatest parts. He's been a great, great addition to the show, and without him, they would not have survived the loss of Lex and Lana. So he was definitely a great add-on to the cast.
Well, this one scene is one of two where I'm going to offer a rewrite. Because I like, a lot of the times people say, well, don't complain about it unless you have a way to do it better. Well, I have a way to do this one better.
I probably know where you're going, but go ahead.
Okay. The mention of Orion's bow.
Mm-hmm.
At the point when they found it, Kara read something on the bow that said, it's not actually the bow, it's the power inside of you that, like, fuels the bow. So the bow should have been just an object representing more, and they never really gave us the more. So what should have happened is we should have seen that idea of the inner power manifesting into Green Arrow's bow or his arrows or something like that, because he's gotten rid of the Omega. He's beaten it. He's the only one at this point who's beaten it. So now he should be, like, a step above and be able to wield Orion's bow, which is now, like, going to manifest over his. like, oh, look at this. Like, now I'm badass.
That's actually a really, really good point that I didn't really think of. That's actually, they really did kind of drop the ball on that. I think that would have been a much more character defining, you know, an arc. I mean, his character arc sort of just went like, yeah, okay, he was infected and then he got cured and so now he's back to being great. Like, yeah, I think that would have been a much better ending to a character arc.
And it would justify the one arrow.
Yeah.
Because they said if exactly. Orion's bow is the thing that can beat Darkseid, yep. Well, we know Ollie's not going to get near Darkseid, yeah. So at least he can use it for this purpose.
I mean, the only other thing I could have thought of, which would have been better, I thought, would have been, you know, grab some of the Justice Society, grab some of the Justice League, have them all team up and take them
out. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that they used Stargirl in, I think it was the second to last episode, yep. Why didn't they just save her for the finale? I mean, someone like that, have her come in, have, you know, freaking, I know Flash is the one they can't really get because he's a big time actor now. Wait, he's not. Get, I don't know, someone to come in with him, you know, have a bunch of the Justice League, Justice Society people come in and team up. I thought that would have been a good chance to, you know, show them. Of course, they probably didn't want to pay them.
Yeah,
the money,
bring Mira back. She was hot too.
Yeah. Just have her stand there in a exactly. bikini and fight. But yeah, exactly. I think, you know, they could have. That was one of my biggest negatives is that I understand that they wanted the show to, you know, it's all about Clark mm-hmm. and, you know, even Lex to an extent. So they wanted to get those two. But I really do think, you know, after all the years they've brought in all these other DC characters, I thought it would have been cool to have some sort of, you know, Justice League type thing, even for a 30 second.
Yeah, they mentioned Manhunter already. Why not bring him in? I mean, he's powerful.
Exactly.
Enough.
I guess a lot of it came down to, you know, I guess someone asked Black Canary, like, why, like, a lot of it came down to, like, scheduling,
yeah.
And I'm sure there's more money involved, too, so. It sucks, but yeah, exactly, I would have rather, but yeah, your idea is a lot better, because that way you don't need the Justice League, and it makes more sense character-wise, so.
But, yeah, and like, I didn't even think about making it Ollie come full circle, but you're right in that aspect, like, it really would have been that redemption that he was seeking.
And they're always like talking about, you know, maybe someday with the Justice League, it would have been a good hint that, you know, the whole Justice League is finally together and, you know, fighting and, you know, Clark's now embracing his debt. Like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it would have been, but, you know, whatever. We're nitpicking now. But.
Yeah, yeah. Just little things that egg
just little
me.
Things.
But. So there we move on to the terrible security that's on Air Force One, apparently. And they're letting Lois on with, like, a badge for somebody else. But you know what? It's one of those things that happens in Superman all the time.
Oh, yeah, I know. You can't really.
So, yeah. So you just go, all right, whatever.
Yeah, they needed a way to get her on and whatever. It was a finish. Like, at this point, I was just like, you know, if it was any other episode, I'd be like, what the? But at this point, you know, I was at the first set. I'm like, oh, shit, she's going to go on Air Force One. I think I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, there's a plane? Wow.
Yeah.
This never happens.
I didn't actually even think of it, though. It wasn't, like, I didn't put the.
No, I didn't at the time either. I should have, but.
You know, thinking that would have been a. Yeah, exactly.
So now Clark's back at the barn to get Jor-El's crystal, and Darkseid shows up in Lionel's body to save money on special effects. And
had the worst dubbing over ever.
Yeah.
Could they have not just used John Glover's voice? It would have been so much better. He's like, roar. I actually had to put the subtitles on because I couldn't understand.
It was weird.
It was like, roar, roar. I'm like, dude, did they not see, you know, get the guy who did Darkseid from Justice League, get someone, you know, Michael Ironside. I think it was Michael Ironside who did it, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Who plays General Lane, so therefore they already have, you know. But no, it's just, you know, I don't know. Why couldn't they have gotten, I don't know, it just seemed very dumb. It took me out of the scene. They could have just used John Glover's voice. It just was a very bad overdubbing of, like, I'm a giant evil thing. And I'm like, okay.
And if
he also looked really cheesy as well. It was kind of.
If they're going to use the, put the effort forward to dress up Black Manta in full costume, can you at least have Darkseid use the Omega Beams instead of a force choke, please?
I really was disappointed because I really thought, you know, Clark would get to, you know, face off against a fully solid Darkseid. That sounds really bad, but you know, like, what I meant. Like,
no, I know what you mean. I was bummed about that too.
Like, you know, I remember having, you know, the superpower figure when I was a kid with, you know, the light up Omega beam, the red eyes, and, you know, the blue and stone. It would have been so easy to do. They did Doomsday, which is 20 times harder.
Yeah.
It was like, and you've already seen the face. It's not that hard to make the rest of them. So I was kind of bummed with that. So, but again, they had a greater, I think Darkseid was kind of on the back burner. They needed to get all these other things out of the way. So in retrospect, I understand, but it would have been cooler to have a giant, you know, him, Darkseid, duke it out. But we have Justice League animated for that. Which,
yeah, I just think instead of, like, taking him by the throat and throwing him, he could have fired the Omega Beams, gotten, like, some burned shirt going on, And like, it would have revealed, like, they mentioned he had blue tights on underneath. It wasn't obviously the Superman stuff, but it would be a little nod to that.
You're, that's a good point, actually, that we forgot to mention in the beginning when she said that. I actually thought, does he have the suit
on? That's what I thought, too.
And I was like, that makes no sense because it's still in the fortress and he shut the fortress down. It made no sense. But yeah, I guess they were talking about the blue, the regular blue shirt he wears over the red jacket, under the red jacket, maybe. I don't know.
But even just to see a little bit of that would have been like a nice foreshadowing.
Yeah. I agree.
As he gets fired back, this is like where the beginning of the scenes that we've been waiting 10 years for finally start coming to fruition.
This is where like everything, this is where everything goes like batshit insane and awesome. Like, I don't care.
And the whole episode just changes.
Says. It doesn't matter. You can say, you know, anything now, and I'll be like, shut up. Like, just him in getting shot back and just stopping in midair. And then, you know, anything after that, whatever.
And it wasn't even just that, but it was the leading up to that where Clark sees the flashbacks. And now it's like reminisce and look back time and all the crystals showing all the scenes and all the trials. And the thing that I thought was really cool, too, even though, like, people... For whatever reason, people can't seem to get over the Christopher Reeve movies when it comes to Superman, but the lighting and the music was straight out of Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Oh, yeah, big time, big time. And I mean, that's a lot of people's pissing and moaning, too, that they didn't use the John Williams theme at this point when he gets the suit and everything. And what I tried to explain, because one of my close friends who's watched the show for 10 years, he's like, you know, I really wish they used the John Williams theme during the Fortress scenes. And I said, you know, the point is, I think, is that they used it at the precise time, because if you use it too early, it loses its resonance at the end. Once you've heard it already, there's no – if they use it throughout the episode, you know, at that point, it's sort of like it doesn't mean anything.
It's the reason The Rock doesn't drop the people's elbow halfway through the match. It really is.
That was a fantastic
analogy.
That's
what everyone wants to see, so you have to wait – until when it matters.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you remember way back in season two when they had Chris Reeve, they did a little bit of it, you know, here and there, tiny, you know, notes of it. But I mean, yeah, they have not, you know, obviously I'm sure they paid a shitload of money to use it too.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely it's like, okay, it wasn't the right time yet. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know, that was one of the pet peeves that people were like, you should have had the John Williams music on the whole time he was in the Fortress.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. It's, they need to save it for the right time.
Yeah, it was also a cool way, I think, to show, you know, every finale always has to have, you know, the reel of all the things that have happened. And I liked, they played it a nice way of having to show all, like you said, the past scenes as trials.
Yeah,
and
it
stuff.
Was great.
And made sure to show all the special effects, all the better special effects scenes, like the rocket ride and the car crash in the beginning, the car going over the bridge, you know, all that stuff.
Totally.
You know, getting hit by electricity, so. Good stuff.
And I love, there's always that one part that so many superhero things fall flat where the guy gets his powers and he's just kind of like, pachoo, and it never like is feeling badass. But when Clark is in there in midair and he like looks at his fist as he tightens it up, I was like, hell yeah. Like that was
the
thing. I
just love how he was in, and he midair, the way he looked at it, and then he just did the classic, like, full forward, two fists forward Superman thing was, you know, and then now we're going to get into the one nitpick again, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me, is, you know, destroying Darkseid with one hit.
Right. But again, like you said, he wasn't destroyed because all the people weren't released from the darkness.
Yeah. Plus, also, I think they were trying to say, you know, the light versus the dark, the second the light, you know, he was the pure light, Darkseid was the pure darkness, and plus he was only inhibiting an already dead body, so it probably wasn't that hard to kill it.
Right. There are probably a million reasons we can write why it was okay. It did bother me a little bit that it was just like booming over, but at the same time I was like, he's flying!
Exactly. At this point, it's like, he's flying, he's about to get the suit, I don't give a shit.
Right.
You know, that was the thing. If it was any other season, we'd been like, oh my god, are you kidding me? But, you know, flying, you know, how many times have they freaking teased? Since the freaking first season, they've been teasing the flying.
The only way they could have made it cooler is if they had gone, like, animated series style and, like, had his eyes glowing, like, kind of heat vision-ish. Like, I'm pissed off and I'm just going to, like, steamroll you.
You know, that's interesting. You're right. They didn't use any of his other powers at all. They didn't. Now that you mentioned, I didn't even think they didn't use the heat vision or the breath or anything. Not to say that they needed to, but
it's been a while for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I wondered, probably cutbacks. You mean, I was reading they had a bigger budget on seasons 1 through 5 or 6 than they have now, which is, you know, blows my mind. Now the fact they actually need it, they have less money, which makes, you know, you know, whatever. But I just think it's funny how they had all, like, if you go back and watch the old seasons in season 1, 2, 3, they had a huge budget with, like, the flying. I don't know if you, do you remember the flying in season 4 when he was possessed?
Oh, yeah.
That flying looked better than they did in this episode. Like, they had a lot more to work with. So I guess they did what they could with what they had. So,
well, they spent it all on the costume, but we'll get to that. So Tess ends up now bumping into Lex at Luther Corp.
This is a fantastic scene.
It was no shock to me whatsoever.
Oh no, we both called it.
Yeah,
but I just loved the way they did it, and it had a cool twist at the end as well. But I just liked how she came in, and you know, he's sitting backwards and he twirls around. And,
oh, it's,
you know,
so classic Luther.
Classic Lex, yeah, and he's already got the Lex Corp. I mean, the Luther Corp office and everything. So yeah.
Yeah, and of course, they go for the hug. Oh, he plays it off like he's doing her a favor, because that's his mentality. You know,
He was like, I couldn't let you become me. And, you know, whether he was true, you never know. Was he actually being truthful, or was he just being a bastard? You never know. You know,
and Tess had a great response, like, Clark already took care of that. You didn't have to kill me. You're just being a dick.
Well, now he's the only Luthor, so. But once again, and so, of course, you know, they did a cool, I thought they handled it well. I didn't think they were going to do it.
It was an interesting way of doing that. Now, was that something that existed, the neurotoxin? I don't remember it.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, another friend of mine actually asked that. Yes. Back in, I think it was season 4 or 5, they had that institute where Lionel took them to try to get the memories out of Lex.
Right. I remember that. And that was all real cool stuff, too.
So, there was actually a neurotoxin from that place, she was saying, the Summerhalt facility or whatever. So it makes sense. It was a hell of a long time ago, but they actually made it, you know, something that she would be able to get access to. So
yeah.
At first, when she rubbed his, I'm like, what was that, like blood? And then
I didn't
get it at first. But fantastic way they did it, because I liked how they, again, with the showing of the memories getting erased, going back, showing all the.
It was almost like Lex's version of Clark's flashback.
Exactly. But it kind of saddened me, because I really did like a lot of the stuff they did build up. But I think it was cool, because it showed that no matter how much of his, you know, stuff was screwed up, he still became the villain we all know anyways.
Yep.
So it was sort of there. And plus, obviously, they had to get rid of the memories of him knowing who Superman was.
Yeah.
But
they couldn't be too selective, or else it would have come across cheesy.
But my question was, what – does he just have a blank slate, like, up to that point now? Does he, like, not – what is he – how does he know his name? Like, what does he remember? They didn't make it very clear.
The way they played it off is that, like, she said the world doesn't exist until this point. But
yeah, so like,
yeah, I had the same thought. I was like, well, then all his like screwed up upbringing is gone too. So
yeah, I mean, I think it would have been better if she had done a specific. It would have been really cheesy, but they could have done a specific talk and just to wipe his memories of Clark.
Yeah,
and that way you got all the screwed up memories,
or at
still,
least like the last so many years.
Yeah, when he found out, up until when he found out, and then just, yeah. And it was this way, it was a clean wipe, but I guess maybe they were figuring, you know, because in the other continuities, really, they never really deal with his past. And I think maybe this way, he's always going to wonder what his past, maybe since he had lack of a pet, no past whatsoever, that he's going to even be more, you know, and always trying to figure stuff out. So I don't know.
Yeah, and his memories are just so ingrained, his upbringing, that it's probably his nature at that point.
I think that's what you're, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought it was a nice way to do it. I didn't even think they were going to, because it worried me, because I'm like, they didn't even do it. And then, you know, I liked how her last effort was to, you know, do something that they needed to do. And it kind of leaves, like I said, it leaves him in a good place now, where he's like, he's evil just because he's evil. He's evil no matter what. It wasn't, Clark didn't, you know, that people always said, well, if Clark just told him a secret early on, like, this shows, you know, Lex is going to be evil no matter what. Lex is Lex.
Yeah. And a nice little fan nod as they were zooming out from the building. It was really cool seeing Lex standing in the window, and then Luther Corp. The sign breaks, and now it says LexCorp.
LexCorp, which we know is what he runs in the, for. I didn't think they were gonna do that either. I love it. These little things. The only thing, this was his last scene. I wished they had had a scene after Superman appears of him sort of reacting to Superman, because I would have been interested to see what his reaction would have been.
Good call.
I mean, I know, I know we know what his reaction is, but it would have been a cool ending sort of thing of like, you know how like in the first, I think it was the pilot of the animated series where at the end, you know, Superman appears above his window and is like looking at him,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Love it.
Like that, that would have been a cool thing. And, you know, I know, but what they did was good enough, but I think that would have been a cool, you know, again, we'll get to the suit why they probably couldn't do that afterwards, but yeah, exactly. I thought that would have been a cool scene.
And they kind of tackled that a little bit with Clark and Lex exchange where Clark says, I'll always be there to stop you. It was kind
yes,
of that same
I love
idea.
That. I did, yeah, exactly. You forgot about that. That's a very good point. Yeah, I loved how he said that. And he's like, yeah, I'll always be there to stop you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very cool. So Clark now goes to the fortress. And
geek out time.
When this happened, I was when the one costume came up, I was like, why the hell does Jor-El have a Superman costume? That really confused me.
Do you not remember why he has
no.
it?
No.
Are you serious?
I don't.
Okay.
I remember him opening it, but that's it.
Martha gave him the suit,
yeah.
Right, last season. She left it for him. Beginning of the season, first episode, he brought the suit, or Jor-El took the suit from the barn, and like it magically disappeared and went into the thing in the ice at the end.
Yeah.
In the first of the pilot episode, season opener this year. And they ended the season episode one with it shown in the glass. So basically saying he wasn't ready for it at that time.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
But no, I'm just...
it just yeah, really confused me. And then he turns around and there's Jonathan with another suit. And I'm like, what
yeah,
the
that
hell?
Was, I don't get that one. You notice this S was completely different. That was the Superman Returns suit
right.
in the glass. And that one was a completely different suit.
The one in the glass looked like it was just made of like hard... It was like it was a statue. It was weird looking.
I think it was actually... supposedly it was the Superman Returns suit that they borrowed. But I don't know where the one they got Jonathan was. I think that looked like a costume. They rented it like a costume shop. I don't know. It looked really... Like the S looked like really flimsy. But
yeah,
whatever.
But anyway, he gives him the suit. And it was cool that he got it from Jonathan.
Yeah, so
even
that
though
really...
that's not really what happened in reality,
no.
That's like the implied, like passing.
But I really like the fact that the two fathers were sort of like
sure.
finally combining, you know, their forces into one to get him to. But I also really like they've done this before, you know, every time he's flown when he's been possessed.
Yep.
I really like how in some, you know, say the animated series, you know, Superman sort of just or in the movies he sort of just takes
yep.
off. I really like how realistically they have him sort of boost, like get like a like duck down and really get like a boost
yeah.
before he takes off, which is really really well done. Which is a easy thing that they could have just not done ever, which I really appreciate. So.
It helped to build to the climax of him actually going airborne, and there are sites that are saying that's the first official flight, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, he already flew. We saw him fly. Sorry, nice try.
Yeah,
but it was cool actually seeing him obscured behind the crystals as he makes the quick change, because I'm like, all right, this is cool. Like they're saving it up and they're gonna show us the suit later. Yeah, yeah.
let's just get that out of the way first, because there's a that,
all right.
you know, because a lot of people are bitching. You know, they never
I'm one of them.
Him in
honestly.
Do you know why though? I found out why.
I understand why they chose to do that. I think it was more. I think the actual reality of it is that it's because of the movie coming
well,
out.
Well, the thing is,
but
it's not the Smallville people's problem. It's fucking Warner Brothers. They had a fight to even let him show that much of the suit, because they said they don't want people thinking of Tom Welling in the suit when they go see the next movie. So that's why he had to be either far, far out of range or only show a headshot with the cape or, you know, obscure. They didn't even want them to let, they had a fight to actually even use the suit. So the fact that it's all of the new movie, if the new movie wasn't coming out, we would have had it. And people are saying, oh, Tom Welling didn't wear it. Tom Welling has said numerous times he had no problem putting the suit on in the last episode. So it's all from legal stupidity, as usual, from Warner
oh,
Brothers.
Oh, yeah, I don't
so.
Blame Tom Welling at all. He was actually, he sounded really jazzed to finally put on the suit.
So, yeah, I don't know if it was a last-minute thing or if they knew this was coming, but, yeah, there's a lot of BS where, you know, they couldn't really show him. And I know that pissed off a lot of people, but, you know, you got to work with what you got.
Yeah.
And again,
it was one of the big bummers of the episode, but at the
yeah,
same
I agree,
time,
I agree.
I think they could have also played it off in the sense that the, like, they're showing Superman, but they're not necessarily labeled. I don't even know how to explain it, honestly. But
well, the way I see it is, you know, you can say, you know, Smallville was all about Clark Kent, and at the very end he becomes Superman. So this is sort of the jump off point. So anytime you pick up a Superman comic,
right,
that's when you see Superman. So you really jumping ahead. I'm jumping way ahead,
yeah.
But at the very end, the last thing you see is him pulling the shirt. So there you go. You right there. He is Superman. So I mean.
Right.
It's okay. It's I know what you mean, though. I mean, I would have loved to see him in the full. Although I don't know, depending on how the special effects, if I would have. Although the way they did it with the really cheesy computer generated flying zipping around looked really kind of bad.
Yeah.
When they did the close ups, it looked okay, but the bad, like when they had him up in space at the very end when he's pushing a.
Oh yeah, very CGI looking.
Very CGI'd, or even when he's at the plane, he looked kind of like. It's like, dude, did you not, like, did they lose all their TV budget? But again, it's a TV show, not a movie,
right,
so.
Right.
But, I mean, even on Lois and Clark, I mean, come on. That's true. Him in a suit, so I don't know. I think, I really do think, you know, I'm going to say, fuck you, Warner Brothers. I mean, I'm looking forward to the TV, the movie, but, you know, don't fucking ruin something that's been, you know, your cash cow for 10 years. And, you know, your only presence, now with Wonder Woman gone, basically your only presence ever in live action for a long time, probably.
Yeah, I don't think minute of Tom Welling in the suit is going to ruin an entire movie. People are going to be, if anything, they're going to be more excited.
Well, let's be honest. We've talked about this before on the podcast where, you know, they know Batman and Wonder Woman characters. And,
right.
You know, because, oh, that might be hurt Batman Begins. Like, that would have really made a difference, you know.
Yeah.
Again, you know, that's the problem, I think, with Warner Brothers owning DC. They can lay down the, you know, Marvel has a lot more freedom with what they can do, even though they are owned by Disney. Disney doesn't really care because they know that Marvel knows what they're doing. So.
And Marvel clearly understands the concept of cross-promoting. Much better.
But much, much better than DC does, apparently.
Before we get too tangential,
sorry,
and I don't even know if that's a word, but...
I like it, you made it up. But sorry, continue. Let's finish. I don't want to...
Yeah.
It's all my fault.
No, don't worry about it. It's all stuff that would have come up anyway. So we get the point. He does the quick change, which works well. He's flying out of the fortress. Apocalypse is getting really close to Earth at this point, like almost touching it looks like, and Air Force One starts to plummet, and we get the classic Superman plane save, which I thought was really cool. So he rights the plane, flies over to the window to look in, and that's classic. Lois sees him in the costume. Really cool. And I actually really like the shot of him in the sky, kind of like standing there with Apocalypse. Like exploding behind
that was
him.
That
was awesome.
Exactly. That was when I was talking about. Yeah, that was the one time I actually liked it. And they almost showed him in full. It was sort of like full suit, but far enough away that you could. But like, you know, it was the full suit kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's stupid because I mean, all right, I'm going on a tangent. Go back. Keep going. I'm gonna take you on a tangent.
All right,
keep going.
Right. So Clark flies over the crowd now and proceeds to push an entire planet away, which releases everyone from the darkness and. Based on the restrictions that you gave from Warner Brothers, I can understand why they wouldn't have done something smarter. But here's my major issue with the whole thing. This bothered me a lot because this is the other rewrite I'm going to offer. This is what should have happened. Superman reveals himself to the crowd by like flying in front of them. Everyone sees him. Seeing a man flying before them. In the blue and red, they make the connection that this is the Blur finally stepping out into the light, which they've all been waiting for.
Yeah, which they didn't even like connect that at all, which pissed me off.
This is what inspires hope, because that's the whole reason he needed to step out. That's the whole point. He's not the Blur anymore.
I thought that was what they were going for, like up until that scene. I'm like, that's what's going to happen. They're going to see Superman and be like, okay, and everyone, but no.
Right.
He should
step out, reveal himself. They all see him in the costume. Even if they had to show him from the back to accomplish this, because they still could have pulled it off. This is what inspires the hope, and then the darkness releases. With the darkness gone, the whole previously mentioned gravitational pull that was attached to it also releases Apocalypse, thus enabling him to, even though unlikely, push a planet away, pull it off with a little more realistic ability than...
Let's get down to the comic book geekiness, though, is the fact Superman can't move a planet.
No.
He hasn't been able to do that since the 1984. This is going to get really comic book geeky for a second.
Yeah.
But there was pre-crisis and post-crisis. Pre-crisis Superman in the 40s, 50s, 60s, he could twirl planets on his thumb. He would run around moving planets, throwing. He used to play baseball with planets. Mm-hmm. You know, that was Superman. But after 1985, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths and destroyed all the rest of the alternate realities, and Superman was depowered because no one could buy a character being that powerful.
Sure.
So Superman could barely go into space without, you know, he would not be able to move a planet. So I was just like, why the hell are they using pre-crisis Superman powers of him moving an entire planet? So that was why I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that bothered me a little bit, but it wasn't even that. It was the part of him revealing himself. They skipped over the thing that they've been building up for a season.
Building up? You're really... More than a season. You're right. Since season 8, or since he became the Blur.
Yeah.
It's pretty much... They're like, you know, everyone's going to be inspired. And, like, did people even know that was the Blur? And, you know, what I think a little annoyed me. They didn't even call him Superman until Chloe closed the book at the
right.
end. No one even said, that's super... It's Superman. Or, like, no one. Or, look, up in the sky. Nothing, you know. Just... And, again, I wonder how much of this Warner Brothers was like, you can't do this because we want to cover this in the movie. You can't do this. Because let's be honest, they're starting to film the movie relatively soon.
Sure.
So I'm sure they were down their throats and going, just get... the way they were looking at it was probably like, just end the show so we can go on with our next iteration of the character.
But at the same time, in like 2 seconds, we offered a better solution and a way to pull it off with the guidelines that they'd been given by Warner Brothers. So...
I know.
So the fact that they skipped over that was the biggest disappointment of the finale for me, because that was what I was really looking forward to.
I think you're right. That was the big climactic moment that I think they had been building, you needed to have, and it did feel like there was just an empty, like something missing.
Yeah.
I got it at the end when they did the flash forward, but before that I was kind of like, if they had ended it without that flash forward at the end, I would have been like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I would have been like, what? You know, that's it. Like, so that's why I think I was like, oh, like when they didn't do, when they, I was like, oh, thank God they're, you know, I actually thought it was going to end with Chloe. Or let's go. To
okay.
That now.
So we, Superman pushes Apocalypse away.
Yep.
He's, and I'm going to keep calling him Superman because I don't care.
He's Superman now.
Yeah. He turns around where we'd actually see him in costume. It cuts back to the comic book from the beginning of the story. And
yes,
at the beginning when she started reading the comic book, it didn't dawn on me. But by this point, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Like, there are some people who said, wait, was Smallville all just happening in a comic book? But then they did the flash forward and obviously revealed that that's not true. But there's also the idea that's bugging me that if there's a comic book documenting everything that happened in Smallville,
exactly,
then there's a book out there revealing Superman's identity to everybody.
Yeah. My fixing of it is, my way of thinking is that Chloe, yes, it had a DC logo on it and a price.
And it even said, draw the line at $2.99.
Yeah. I think, and they actually had real artists draw, like, you know, the guy did Superman and Secret Origin, like, drew art for it. But I really think, you know, in my mind, to keep it, you know, so I don't go crazy about it, I think that's something that Chloe had done, especially for her son, like a bedtime story type thing, where to inspire him to be like I don't think it's a out there comic book. I think it was more of like a almost like a private story that she likes to share with her son, because if not, it makes no sense whatsoever.
I think the comic book integration was simply a way to sell more comic books.
Oh, I'm sure on DC's part. But the problem is, A, there's no Smallville comic book. There was in like season one, and it was only like a miniseries.
Yeah.
Two, people are going to be like, so where's the Smallville comic? Well, we don't publish Smallville comics,
yeah.
So it's like, it didn't really work.
Although you never know.
But I did really like how when she closed and she goes, and that's how a boy became Superman. And like, that's the first time they actually say Superman.
Right.
I'm like, really? That's it?
Yeah.
But, and then of course you see the bow and arrows, which confirms our suspicion.
Right, that it's Ollie's son.
Which completely, you have no idea how pissed off people are that they stayed together, because she's supposed to be with Black Canary. Yet again, Chloe doesn't exist in the comic books until she does now, but
right.
She didn't. So what does it
and
matter?
And again, Elseworld.
You have no idea. Don't go on a real comic book where people rip you apart. No, she's supposed to end up. I mean, he's supposed to end up with Black Canary. Dude, calm down. It's a freaking TV show.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah. But, well, guess what? I read a book where Batman had the Green Lantern ring. So, really?
I read a book where Batman was a vampire.
Yeah, I read a book where Superman was landed in the USSR. So let's just accept the Elseworlds and move forward.
Seriously.
So
here's my favorite part for the rest of the episode. Yeah.
The flash forward was absolutely the highlight of the entire thing.
Pitch perfect.
And,
pitch perfect.
And even in the part where Chloe's reading the book, we hear the undertones of the John Williams theme.
Yes.
And I was like,
it was
my God.
I started getting goosebumps.
Yep.
Not yet, but it was starting to build, going, okay. And I like the anticipation. And that's what's really going to suck. Not to go on a tangent. I swear this won't be a real long tangent. Not to go on a tangent, but the new movie that's really going to bum me is, you know, I know they don't want to use the John Williams because they want to keep themselves away. But for me, unless I hear that, I'm not going to like think Superman. You know, that's so ingrained in me because, you know, our generation, I know new generations probably not, but, you know, that's such a, that to me is Superman. So
it's just one of the iconic themes, and there's not a lot of them anymore, but that's one of them.
No, it just really is. So, yeah. And so then, of course, we get to the you have Chloe getting a call from Lois.
Yep.
Was it Lois that called her?
Yep. So they're back in this same continuity where Chloe's reading
which
to
is
her
seven
son.
Years,
and
which is 7 years
seven
in
years
the future.
In the future, yep. Lois is rushing around the Daily Planet. We see the real Jimmy Olsen, who's now grown up to look exactly like his dead brother.
Hey, I like that they brought the fact that they brought him back.
I do like that though. Yeah, I don't even care that he looks the same. I like that.
I don't care. I thought it was a really cool. I'm like, holy shit, it's the same actor. Like, I thought that was a good.
Or it
really
might have been
cool
his twin brother. We don't know.
I did like because he was pretty pissed off when they killed him off. So I'm assuming it was him. Probably
yeah,
to make
probably
nice with them. But I like that though. That was a really they could and I liked how they had Perry White's voice.
And they
be the
said
Perry White from
Great
the show.
Caesar's Ghost and
Caesar's
all that.
Ghost. And Clark did a. And then Clark, of course, bumps into Lois. And,
but even before that, we see the video monitor with Lex being elected president. So that's all now coming to fruition, too.
In the exact same outfit that he was wearing in that flash forward from season one episode, Hourglass episode, where he saw the future with that old lady.
Hell, it might have been
the
same
white
footage, almost.
No, it wasn't, because Rosenbaum was talking about how he refilmed it. And but no, we had the white suit and the black glove, and I wish we could hear what he was saying, but yeah, it was very cool. Seeing 2018, Lex Luthor elected president, I'm like, oh, crap.
So Clark and Lois bump into each other. For some reason, they're pretending they're not together, because they were just fine doing that before.
Secret, yeah.
So I don't know why they even threw that in. That was kind of stupid. The bomb threat gets called in, and they're like, okay.
I thought,
what?
I was just going to say, you skipped over one thing. Was there the rings?
Oh,
the rings again.
Yep.
I thought, why it took them 7 years to get married
again? I was thinking that a little bit, too.
But I guess they were trying to show that, like, you know, like you just said with the bomb threat, every time they're about to, something else comes up that he has to go save.
Right.
It's sort of like a never-ending battle kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, sorry.
So the bomb threat gets called in. The John Williams music really starts revving up at this point, and it hits when Clark is up on the roof, tosses the glasses aside.
Greatest 5 seconds in like the history, or 30 seconds.
John Williams is blaring like crazy, rips open the shirt, Superman logo, and it transitions even the same way that the Christopher Reeve style movies did it.
Yeah, but you do the credits like the old school style credits with the words going the letters going backwards like in space kind of thing.
And on one hand, I'm a little irked that people can't get over that. Yeah, they were great movies. It is time to move on. But at the same time, what else could they have done that would have really made us feel like Superman is here?
It wouldn't have. I would have been actually really disappointed if they just didn't. Because I mean, I was. You know, there's a lot of people who do hate the Christopher Reeve movies, and I like them because they're my childhood. If I hadn't grown up on them, I probably would have been like, okay, whatever. But I mean, let's be honest, Superman the movie is pretty close to still being a perfect Superman movie with a couple of exceptions. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was made in 1978. I don't think they're going to do anything better next year. We'll see. But, you know, Christopher Reeve to me always had that poise and of being Superman. So, and the music, like I said, that music just, it hooks me. Like the second I hear it, that's Superman to me.
We're basically as long as the actual episode was at this point. So.
No, we're not. We've still got another half an option.
Well, commercials removed. It was really only like an hour 25
minutes.
Yes,
you're right. With commercials removed, you're exactly correct.
Yeah, so we're almost spot on. We should have just done this in real time and commented throughout it. Then people could watch the episode along
then
with
I
us.
I wouldn't have been able to go on those weird random tangents that I don't care about.
All right. So now that we are at the time we are, let's start closing up. And in closing, it's been a great 10 years. And I was happy to see it end, but I'm sad to see it go.
Yes, it had its ups and downs, and you know, but it was always there for 10 years.
It did.
You know, it's a long.
It has been a long time. Like, we're 30 now. So it's a third of our life.
Longest running science fiction show in U.S. history.
Yeah.
It is now officially.
It says a lot for it. And there are a few shows that go that long where I've never missed an episode. So
seriously.
That says a lot about how much we care about it. So, on behalf of myself and Brian and the rest of the Geek Generation, I'd just like to say thank you, Smallville, and take it away, Jonathan.
Always hold on to Smallville.